Sports Betting for a number of years. I'm Senator John Hardy. I'm one of the many legislators, some of whom are here today, to express concerns about the harms of sports betting. In over 30 legislative hearings in the last several years on sports betting, none of them have focused on the harms. Virtually everyone they talk about the details of the legislation.
They've talked about who benefits, who profits off of it. But before getting into that, I want to say, to be clear, sports betting is currently legal in Minnesota. Last week's Vikings-Lions game, you could bet with friends, you could bet with strangers, you could bet with anyone on it. What's not legal in Minnesota is sports bookmaking, where a corporate entity can come in and profit off of your betting, rising sports betting. The industry claims will displace the illegal offshore betting that's happening, but there's no evidence that that's happening. The barrage, if anything, the barrage of advertising that comes with legalization increases the amount of offshore betting in some states. The addictive nature of sports betting, of betting in general, has been already well documented. Financial hardships related to health struggles, mental health, and suicide. Gambling's an addiction as powerful as any opioid or other addiction. In fact, it's the highest suicide rate of any addiction. The head of the Minnesota's only on-site gambling addiction program has said that one in five addicts has attempted suicide. Over half have a suicidal ideation. Now, a new study out of University of Oregon suggests there's another problem with it, a link to an increase in domestic violence. We're going to be hearing from the author of that Oregon study this morning. Two other studies, one from Northwestern, one from UCLA, came out this summer as well. The University of UCLA study found a decline in credit scores in states that allow sports betting associated with changes as indicators of excessive debt. They said they find, quote, a substantial increase in bankruptcy rates, debt collections, debt consolidation loans, auto loan delinquencies. And the rates of bankruptcy increase is large. Researchers observe that, quote, the likelihood of bankruptcy filing increases by as much as 25% to 30%, 3 to 4 years after a state legalizes sports bookmaking. The proponents are eager to talk how much the predatory industry will profit from sports betting. We think it's time that the legislature consider the harms, the economic harms, the social harms, the health harms from this. We want to make sure we take a look at the increase in family violence. And we're asking our colleagues to conduct thorough hearings on the harms of this as well. And this morning's informational hearing of the Senate Finance Committee is designed to begin that process. We look forward to more discussion. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Senator Erin May Quaid.
Thank you so much. Good morning. I'm Senator Erin May Quaid. I'm really grateful to be here today standing with advocates and senators to talk about the harm that comes with predatory mobile sports betting. The first thing I want to say is that our phones, social media, all of the addictive features of social media were designed after gambling. The push notifications, the algorithms, the continuous scrolling, all of that was learned from the things that make gambling addictive. One of the things that Minnesota currently has is that in order to gamble, you have to go somewhere to do it. There's the barrier of time, of driving, and that is true in the states surrounding Minnesota that have legalized sports betting. Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota all have on-premise sports betting, but they do not allow predatory mobile sports betting. The type of access that can turn casual gamblers into problem gamblers is exactly why you see this push for predatory mobile sports betting in Minnesota. These sports betting companies know that if people have to drive somewhere, take time out, but they can't gamble from the carpool lane or standing in line at the bank or from bed or even from the bathroom, they don't have the opportunity to turn people who might casually bet on the Vikings beating the Rams next week, knock on wood, but it's every bet after bet after bet, play after play after play, dopamine hit after dopamine hit after dopamine hit. Just last Friday, Sportico reported that DraftKings launched a subscription service that gives selected eligible customers increased odds on the types of bets that are most profitable to the company. Subscription services and other features of these predatory mobile sports betting apps are designed to ensnare consumers by combining the addictive qualities of social media, as I mentioned before. This is particularly dangerous for young people, who the American Psychological Association has said are the fastest growing demographic for problem gambling. I also think we need to look at other states to see what has happened there to know what could happen here. Connecticut released data last year and found that 71% of legal bets made in the state are made by 7% of residents. 71% of bets are made by 7% of residents. And more than half of the revenue made from sports betting was made by just 1.8% of residents, which are problem gamblers. Now, we know that folks max out credit cards, take out second mortgages, cash out their kids' college funds to do these kinds of things. And we hear from our colleagues that this bill to legalize predatory mobile sports betting in Minnesota is so responsible, and there's going to be money to go to treat the problem gambling that's created by this bill. Last year's bill, 75% of the money went to other forms of gambling in Minnesota. Charitable gaming, the tracks, the tribes. Only, I think it was like $2 or $4 million of this, you know, $80 million revenue that we were supposed to get actually went towards treating the problem. Predatory mobile sports betting companies care about their bottom line. That is it. They do not care about the welfare of Minnesotans. They do not care about our state, and they definitely don't care about treating problem gambling. I'm really grateful to my colleagues both behind me and the ones who couldn't be here today. This is a bipartisan coalition who is seeing what's happening across the country and do not want to bring the harms here. If we are going to legalize sports betting in the state of Minnesota, then we do not need to legalize predatory mobile sports betting. We can follow suit of our neighbors, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for being here today, and thank you to Senator Marty for holding this informational hearing that we're going to have in just a little bit. I'm State Senator Scott Dibble, and I have nothing substantive to add to what's already been said so well by my two colleagues. I did want to share some thoughts from Republican State Senator Jordan Rasmussen, who can't be here today, so I'll read us his quick statement here. He says, "I'm grateful Senator Marty is holding a hearing to discuss the negative effects of mobile and online sports gambling. Any discussion of legalizing sports betting in Minnesota needs to carefully consider the challenges that have followed other attempts to legalize mobilized gambling. I am not against sports betting. I am against turning phones into casinos. I look forward to continuing to work on the issue to prevent unnecessary harms to Minnesota families." Thank you very much.
And Leah Patton from the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition.
Good morning. My name is Leah Patton. I am Executive Director of the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition. JRLC is a statewide nonpartisan coalition formed through the partnership of four sponsoring organizations: the Islamic Center of Minnesota, the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and the Minnesota Council of Churches. As people of faith, we advocate alongside our neighbors of differing religious backgrounds to address poverty, uphold the dignity of overlooked communities, and mitigate social harm. Our four traditions have different teaching regarding gambling. There's no kind of universal opinion about that. But all four communities share the value and the belief that gambling addiction is a thing. And all four communities, as they serve their neighbors, see the negative effects of gambling addiction every single day. And while most people can enjoy betting or gambling as a form of entertainment, they can go to the casino, have a nice meal, do some slots, a couple hands of blackjack, go home and they're totally fine, we want to emphasize that that is not the case for a significant number of Minnesotans, and that this problem will be made even worse, exponentially worse, by making every phone and every computer in the state a potential gambling device or slot machine. I mean, even in this room, we have like 10, 15 different phones. Imagine if those were all slot machines in this room right now. That's the kind of impact we're talking about. So according to a 2020 survey, and again, this is 4 years ago, before we've seen a lot of the impact of mobile sports betting in the states around us and the other states that have legalized it, the Wilder Foundation and the Minnesota Department of Human Services found that 1.3% of adults in Minnesota are problem gamblers, which represents over 56,000 adults. An additional 3.8, which is nearly 162,000 adults, are at-risk gamblers that have the potential to fall into that first category. And another 22% of people in Minnesota are negatively impacted by their loved one or one of their colleagues' gambling addiction. And again, this is prior to the proposed expansion that we're talking about right now. That, again, would make every computer and cell phone a gambling device in this state. And in terms of our young people, we're also very, very concerned about this particular form of gambling and the effect on adolescents in our state. A pipeline already exists for young people in terms of online gambling. Some of the most popular streams on platforms like Twitch or Kick are online or crypto casino gambling streams. And the audiences on these platforms can be as young as 13 years old. And even with age controls that are on some of these streams, we all know that a precocious teenager does not have much of a problem getting around those age restrictions pretty easily. So they are already being exposed to online gambling. So our belief is that if we legalize online sports betting in our state, that's not going to supplant any of these other gambling resources that adolescents have already been exposed to. It's just going to augment their options once they come of age. And that's extremely concerning to us when those patterns will have already been developed and are, you know, as your frontal lobe is forming, that's a pretty important time to form your patterns. So we want to emphasize that over the last few years, we have seen a lot of reliable data coming out of states that have already legalized this form of betting. And the impacts are a rise in gambling helpline calls, a significant rise of gambling helpline calls. For instance, in Massachusetts, calls were up 276% since 2020 when they legalized. And that we believe will be the case in Minnesota. Also dwindling financial household stability and a massive increase in the likelihood of bankruptcy. And with the cost of living nowadays just going up by the minute, we think that legalizing this form of gambling right now will definitely exacerbate that situation for a lot of Minnesota families. So these studies don't indicate a correlation between online sports betting and these impacts. They indicate a causation. So they are directly connected, and I think that's important to emphasize. And in Minnesota, our organization hears from a lot of direct services providers that provide emergency shelter to people who are unhoused in Minnesota, that a gambling addiction or problematic gambling behaviors is either the primary factor or a co-occurring factor with other mental health conditions or addictions for why this person is unhoused. And I think we've made important progress on that issue in Minnesota in the last couple of years, and we're really concerned that we're gonna lose ground on a lot of that progress if we legalize what theoretically is a form of entertainment for people. So we're asking people to contact your legislators and tell them to support protections that would help prevent the potential negative impacts of online gambling expansion as a baseline for any kind of discussion we have moving forward. And we want to thank you for the efforts that Senator Marty and other senators have done to continue this discussion and protect people that are already vulnerable in our communities. So thank you.
With that, we're happy to take any questions.
Can I ask Senator Marty a question? I think it was about a year ago, almost to the day, that you announced that you would be willing to support a bill if it had certain protections in it. So two questions. One, what happened to that sort of coalition with Senator Klein? And two, absent or shy of getting rid of mobile, what do you think the bill should have to pursue your concerns?
Sure. We introduced a bill last year that I think did contain, if Minnesota's going to go into sports betting, online sports betting, a bill that would have restrictions, would basically block advertising from it. Anything that had more than 10% of the audience being under 21 would be blocked from advertising. It has real restrictions in that nowhere in the country has anything like this. It would hold the industry responsible when they have, when they hire, and you'll hear testimony today about how they have hire VIP treatment people, concierges who help people who are gambling a lot, right when they're at the vulnerable point, giving them loans and everything else. We would have real protections in here in this bill to stop that. My pitch is, if we're going to legalize sports betting, let's do it responsibly, and the existing bill is nothing like that. I think as Senator May Quaid mentioned earlier, the initial bill they had actually put money in for some gambling addiction things. They actually had money in one of the bills, the House or Senate bill, that was going to give money to address homelessness. Why? Because homelessness increases with this. But all that faded away because they were cutting deals and giving more of the tax revenue to gambling operations because of the inequities they were seeing. So I would still say I think the smartest thing would be not to do it at all. But no, I intend to push a bill saying that if we're going to do it, let's do it in a way that no other state has done it. And the problems, again, I think as Ms. Patton mentioned, it's been a lot of the states have tripling of their calls to gambling hotlines. They have this huge increase in bankruptcy filings. I mean, the total state, 25-30% is a lot of increase in bankruptcy filings for the small number of people who get the addiction. It just shows how powerful it is. So, you know, we intend to continue working against
the whole issue of allowing a predatory industry to come in and profit off of people's harm.
But you did, like, you supported Rasmussen's amendment to
in-game. Yes, that's one of the things our bill would have. It would ban on all college sports. We haven't talked this morning about violent threats against athletes. College athletes have done this. Charlie Baker of NCAA has, he's called for a ban on in-game bets and so on and trying to stop this. Mm-hmm. We want to prohibit all college athletes aren't paid. I mean, it's a different field. Some are now, I understand. But they're getting death threats for making or failing to make plays. Death threats and violent death threats. And that's happening with the rise in sports betting. And we're going to have some of that, exploring some of that in the hearing this morning.
Are you more concerned about passage because of the changing makeup of the legislature, or is it because you think maybe they've cut the deals that they needed to cut to make this pass now?
They felt they had a deal cut last year to do it. I think the bill was, again, nobody looked at any of the harms. Again, it's always, who profits? The entire debate at the Capitol among the authors and so on was, who's going to profit? The tribes or the tracks? Who's going to profit here? Who's going to do that? Who's going to make the money? But never a look at the suicide. Never look at the mental health challenges. Never look at the risk to kids, to the risk to athletes. It's none of that's been heard after 30-some hearings in the legislature, and we want to take a look at that. And frankly, I think a lot of our colleagues are really interested in learning more, and I think the public should hear this too.
We also have some of the first data from other states out now because, you know, I think 2018, the Supreme Court overturned it, but states have started legalizing in the last 4 or 5 years. So we're having those first studies come out. We're seeing the data from other states and learning that a lot of these promises are falling flat, right? Kansas legalized sports betting. When the Kansas City Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, I think Kansans made like $236 million worth of bets, and I think the state got, what?
12 billion.
Yeah, like a million.
$1,200.
Yeah.
$12.
$1,200. So, like, you know, the revenue even overestimation that has happened in other states is real as well. So I think that is why this is newly energizing, is that we have more to look at to see what could happen, and the results aren't good.
And I'll just add one other new bit of data. Since last year and since the time that Senator May Quaid was talking about the experience of other states, there's oftentimes an argument made that there's already sports gambling going on, or there's other kinds of gambling, or these are entertainment dollars that are simply going to move around from the existing family's entertainment budget. It's called the displacement effect, and now we have a lot of evidence that that is not actually the case, that people are using resources that they would otherwise be using in other parts of their family budgets. The kinds of things that Senator May Quaid was talking about, their savings, their general household expenses, kids' college funds, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly what this does is really expand the amount of money that's going into the pockets and the profits of these predatory mobilized betting companies. Thank you.
In looking to other states, are there states that if this was to happen in Minnesota, you think have particularly strong, have had successful or strong anti-gambling programs or treatment programs or,
I would describe it as other states have token kind of changes, usually ones the industry approved.
Okay.
I mean, that's where the reason the industry doesn't see the legislation I introduced is sports betting legislation, wouldn't allow this, wouldn't allow this. In effect, it puts a cap on the thing. And they keep saying, the industry says, better regulated than unregulated. And they keep saying, well, we would regulate so kids under 21 couldn't bet, where they can already bet offshore. Well, this doesn't stop if you're a 16-year-old kid and we legalize it for older people here. I'm going to stop doing offshore? No, they're going to keep doing it and they get more ads because every time you watch a sporting event, the ads are ubiquitous in the states that have it, and we're going to have that. So it actually increases that. And there's one of our testifiers is going to talk about how states that have it, the illegal offshore stuff actually increases with the legalization. It's not displaced by this.
Do you know if there's any evidence of an equity issue in this?
Yes.
Meaning, is there a disproportionate negative impact on communities of color or low income?
Yes, two things. One of the studies we're having today, and the studies are all based on when states legalize. The researchers look at what year they legalized and what the change was in bankruptcies, et cetera. And one of the studies is talking about the impact on vulnerable households. I think Senator May Quaid mentioned the Wilder study on prevalence of gambling in Minnesota. It's 4 years ago the study was done. And they said that people of all ages and incomes and everything bet on all forms of gambling. But the risk for people under $30,000 a year household, the risk of problem gambling, the gambling addiction type of thing, is like 9 times higher for people with low incomes and high incomes. And there was like more than a 2-to-1 disparity between white people and people of color. And so it's a very disparate impact. It has a very negative impact on equity issues. And so that's another concern. But a lot of these things we're hoping to explore in the hearing this morning.
I was referring
in particular to Senator Rasmussen, who has been a really great partner to Senator Marty and Senator Dibble and I in this work. And we have House partners and colleagues on both sides of the aisle as well. Are there on record?
Yes. Yeah, there are many. There are a good number of legislators who are very concerned about this. I think of both parties. We have a number of people attending today. That doesn't mean they're supportive of this. They want to learn more. I think we have a good number who are going to be attending today in the Senate. I opened it up to all members of the Senate who want to come because this is informational hearing. It's meant to educate people and have had a very good response from colleagues. Unfortunately, Republican caucus has a caucus meeting today, so a lot of them won't be there, but I think some have indicated they'll be at least for the beginning of the hearing.
Will any of this information come from people who are proponents of gaming?
We actually had some inquiries from industry folks who wanted to present, and we said, yes, this is it. We told one, well, it was one who wants to talk about all the economic development of gambling. I said, this is a hearing about the problems. Can testify to that, you can respond to that, you can say, oh, it's not as bad as you think, or we have mitigating factors or anything else. In the end, we had two who had signed up but then withdrew their names when they heard that that's what we were talking about. And I welcome them. I think we need to have them respond. And frankly, when you see the predatory practices they do, the practices where they know most of their money comes from a handful of people, and they're not the high-income people. They're the people who usually end up with a gambling addiction. And when you see the practices they have, I'm not surprised that they don't want to be here. You look at any of the documentaries that have been done on this, and they're basically preying on vulnerable people, and they don't want to talk about that. So I think they'd rather ignore the hearing.
I recognize that it's really early and that you're still sizing up the new power structure here at the Capitol, but I wonder if you can give us a sense of the odds for passage for your proposal versus some other sports betting bills that are out there.
I can't give you odds on the bill. I think...
You go to your app, though.
Yeah.
You can put a bet on it.
The proponents of the bill from last year are saying that they think this is a very opportune year for it. Of course, they said that the year before and the year before. We're hoping they're not going anywhere with it. Again, I think bill I introduced, I feel, is responsible if we're going to do it. Again, you know, you look at the problems with gambling... This lets the industry off scot-free. The bill that's being pushed in Minnesota, they have no liability risks or anything. And when they are driving people on the verge of bankruptcy and other problems into betting more, despite their, quote, responsible gambling stuff, when they're driving them to that, they should be liable for that. And our bill would put liability in and so on. I think the industry would rather not have it in Minnesota because they don't want to share the ideas with other states.
I'll also just add, too, we can always expand gambling more, right? We can start with on-premise. We could start with, you know, no college sports. We could start there, and if we are the one state in the nation that doesn't have any problems with an increase in problem gambling, an increase in domestic violence, an increase in homelessness, an increase in bankruptcies, if we're the one state that doesn't have that, we can expand it again, right? But you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, because if we expand it to its full range right away, then if we see all these problems and want to undo it, oh, we can't because we have licenses, and oh, we can't because of, you know, this money that's going to that. So, I mean, I think if we're going to do this responsibly, it doesn't mean running head first into a brick wall. Maybe let's walk a little.
I think I heard a couple references to your phone becoming a casino, and I'm wondering if you can kind of define how that happens. Is that through prompts? Is that through notifications? Is that through, you know...
Oh. Yeah, sure. Both of us can comment on that. Yeah, it's basically the phone because it's on 24/7.
And connected to your bank account.
Yes, and they do all kinds of things to do this. People who have it have described how, because the phone is already addictive in its own nature.
Yes.
We're trying to address that with kids and everybody else. And now when you make a very addictive device become an addictive
carrier for an addictive service, it becomes even more problematic. And I think that that's the nature of the problem. If you have to go to a site to gamble, which you have to do in Minnesota currently for any kind of betting, and what you have to do in the three neighboring states that have sports betting but not mobile sports betting, you have to go to a property to do that. And that's certainly different than at 10 at night. Oh, you get a pop-up notification on your phone. We'll give you $100 in free bets. So it's much more addictive that way.
And it's also the algorithms, right? When are you most likely to bet? When are you most likely to bet the most money? What sports are you most enticed to? What kinds of teams? What kinds of, you know, parlay bets? What kind of plays? What, you know, all of those things, right? When it'll figure out real quickly, when do you get paid each month? When is your rent due? Like, it knows what's coming in and out of your bank account. When are you paying your daycare bill on the 15th? All right, well, on the 16th or the 15th or the 14th, we're going to give you $100 extra free dollars. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that makes it extra addictive. It's not the will of the person. It's not, hey, I'm gonna run over to the casino with a couple of my friends and we're gonna have a meal and then we're gonna like watch the game and make some bets and then we'll come home. It's, I'm sitting in the carpool line, I'm getting push notifications saying, hey, your team is playing on Sunday. Do you wanna bet who's gonna make this kickoff and who's gonna make this catch? And then the game is happening while your toddler runs around and destroys your house and you're like, okay, this is how many yards they're gonna get and this is how many, you know, whatever. And you're doing this on kids too, right? In college, half the kids that are playing college sports wouldn't be able to bet based on this bill, but yet adults can bet on them. It is so addictive, and we have already seen the addictive nature of our cell phones and of social media and of algorithms, and to introduce gambling, which all those addictive things are already modeled after, it is just rife, rife for addiction and abuse in Minnesota.
Senator Klein said that the University of Oregon study on domestic violence, he called it not a legitimate study. Are you familiar with why he would be saying that? Would you be able to respond?
I would be disappointed to hear that, but I think that the study, the authors, one of the authors is presenting this morning by Zoom, and she will talk about, they are in the process of peer reviewing the document. I mean, they've submitted it, it's being peer reviewed now, and I think the fact that it shows an increase in it, it takes triggering events. I mean, after a loss of a sporting event of a popular team or something, you see an uptick in violence, domestic violence incidents now. This increases it, according to the research, by 10% more. And saying that 10%, oh, that's only a handful of people. This is a tragic, domestic violence is a tragedy in our society, and any increase in it's serious. So, no, I don't think we should dismiss the study. I mean, I think the authors are waiting. I mean, that's a peer review process, so other research and everyone can challenge it and so on, and that's what they're in the process of. But the numbers, from what I know, the authors have not had any pushback saying that you did this wrong or it was an illegitimate study. So I don't know, but people have a chance to question the authors today. And I would encourage people to come to the hearing because I think it's going to be very educational, both at how it works. We have a couple of witnesses who are going to speak about how the predatory industry works and why they are so successful at addicting more people. So I hope you can come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.